So as I mentioned, Mother's Day is pretty tough for me. For most of my life, early life, I was raised by a single mom. She worked multiple jobs, and we had a really good relationship. But recently, there's just been some dysfunction, and we've created some space. It was a decision that my family just made that just for health reasons for our own family. But even though there's that going on currently, my mom did do some really amazing things for me growing up. And I don't know if you've seen heard the list of things that my mom has taught me. And I read through this and I was like, wow, my mom taught me a lot of these things. And it's kind of like everything I've ever learned, I learned from my mom type thing. So one thing my mom taught me was religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she said, "You better pray that stain will come out of the carpet." Yeah. My mom taught me logic from her decisive words. "Because I said so, that's why." Right? I've used that a few times myself. My mother taught me foresight or planning. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Nice. Thanks, Mom. Always need that one. My mother taught me irony. "Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about." Yeah. My mother taught me stamina. "You'll sit there until all that spinach is gone." Now, for me, that wasn't much of a stamina thing, as you can tell. Food was never an issue for me. But some of you can probably relate. My mom taught me about weather. "It looks like a tornado went through here." And in my kids' rooms, Rachel says that a lot. So my mom taught me about the circle of life. "I brought you into this world and I'll take you out." Right? We've heard these things. Well, this morning I want to talk about not just moms, because if we just talk about moms, then that gets rid of at least half of us. Because guys, we're good, but we're not that good. So it loses like half of us there. So instead of talking about moms, I really want to just talk about three characteristics of what it means to follow Jesus. And that's important to me because I think if you're a good mom, the best moms are the ones that teach their kids about Jesus. The best grandmas and the best aunts and sisters. The best women in my life have been those who have poured out Jesus and taught me about Him. So I really just want to talk about Jesus this morning and what it means to, what it would look like to follow Him. If you would, if you have a Bible, we're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And if you don't have a Bible, it'll be up on the screen for us. But if you have one, we're going to be hanging out in 1 Thessalonians today. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says these things to the church at Thessalonica. "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." There's three things there that I think as Christ followers that we should be striving for. And the first is a work produced by faith. A work produced by faith. Now, the definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Complete trust or confidence. And that's what a Christ follower is going to look like. We're going to have a trust and a confidence in Jesus. Faith is believing that the best is going to happen. Now, almost 6 years ago now, when I was diagnosed with cancer, My first phone call was to my mother-in-law, Anne. And she had faith. She said, we are going to beat this. We're going to win. We're going to come up with a plan, and we're going to tackle it, and we're going to defeat it. She never wavered in that. She was my oncology nurse through much of my treatments, and she was my rock, really, through some of that. She had faith that cancer wasn't going to win. And ladies seem to have that better than us guys. If you've ever been to a sporting event with little kids, or all the way up into junior high and high school, as a coach, I love listening to the stands, because you always have these women who are screaming for their kids. I love it when there's like this battle between the two sides. You have two teams playing, and especially if you go to like All-Stars or something like that, and you have the, but even like in RBB stuff, you have the mom, come on, Johnny, you can do it. And then the other side, come on, Billy, stop him. And then there's like this screaming war. Who can be the loudest? And I like looking up stands as a coach and thinking, no, Johnny can't do it. Like, he hasn't hit a free throw in 3 months of practice. Why, he's not going to start now. I don't, but that's faith. You know, the moms are like, come on, Johnny, you can do it. No, it's not going to happen. My son, God bless him, he runs track, and I'm sure there are parents out there that, come on, win this race. Well, your kid runs like a newborn giraffe. Like, it's not going to happen. Right? I mean, it's exercise, sure. But Johnny's not going to win this race. Now, if we have some giraffes out here, Johnny could win. But that's faith. You know, that's what women do. They scream. They have this confidence that today is the day that Johnny's all of a sudden going to do it. They've been through the same games. They've seen the practices. They know, but they have this confidence that today is going to be different. And that's faith. I don't often watch American Idol, but when I do, it's the early sessions, because I love watching people sing terrible. It gives bad singers like me kind of hey, you're not that bad. But if you've ever watched American Idol, there's always, almost every time, there's a mom in the background saying, these judges don't know anything. Yeah, right. I mean, they've produced albums and they're hits. They don't know anything. But there's always these moms in the background saying, you are the best. And I think that's what Christ followers are supposed to be like. We're supposed to have this extreme confidence that no matter what's happening, that Jesus is going to be there for us. Psalm 71:5 says, you are my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. See, David here in Psalm 71 recognizes that my confidence isn't in someone else. My confidence is in the Lord. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. See, our assurance and our faith is not in the things that we see. It's in a God who is there working through it. So even through the tough times, we can have faith. The second thing that Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians is that we need to have an endurance inspired by hope. Endurance inspired by hope. Now, hope has a simpler definition. It says that hope is a feeling of expectation that a certain thing will happen. A feeling of expectation that a certain thing will happen. As Christ followers, we should have this hope that something is going to happen. And that something for us is that Jesus is going to come back and that we live in a temporary world and that this world is just a vapor. And we have a hope that one day Jesus is going to come back and there's not going to be any weeping and not any sorrow and no more pain. But a lot of Christians and a lot of preachers these days preach this idea that our hope is that this life's going to be easy. Or if you give enough or do enough, you're going to be wealthy. But that's not really what Paul says at all. He says that we're going to have an endurance inspired by hope. Now, women, you understand endurance. I've often said that my wife has the endurance of a marathon runner. She's put up with me for 19 years. And we were married when we were 20. And I was very immature then. Luckily, I've grown up a lot. But I was probably more like a 14-year-old in my life. We got married and we went down to Johnson Bible College and I played on the basketball team and the baseball team and the soccer team. And I was always hanging out with the guys and in the guys' dorm. And Rachel went and got a job to pay for our food and our lives, really. And I would come home from a tough day of playing video games in the guys' dorm. Rough basketball practice. I had to run an extra sprint because I didn't make it the first time. And I come home and plop down on the couch and have this expectation that dinner's going to be done and house is going to be clean and there's going to be those little Disney birds flying around. And Rachel endured through all of that. She only threatened my life one time. And that's not a joke. There was a knife involved. But we'll talk about anger issues at another sermon. But she had endurance. She put up with me. She puts up with our two kids. So really, she's like raising three kids at this point. That's endurance, you know? But even through that, some of you have dealt with a lot worse. You've dealt with losses in your lives. Emotional pain. Relationships that are broken. And you've endured through that. You've been a rock in a lot of relationships because of your hope. And I find it interesting that Paul here puts hope at the end. He says that we should have a work produced by faith, a labor prompted by love, an endurance inspired by hope. He put hope here at the end because the church at Thessalonica was having some problems with their understanding of Jesus coming back. They were struggling with this hope that Jesus is going to be here and that that will be better. So all through 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about this hope that we have, and the hope is for the second coming. In chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." May he strengthen your hearts. That's endurance. That's knowing that even though it's tough, we have this hope that Jesus is coming back. And then really at the whole end of the book, starting with 1 Thessalonians 4:14, Paul says, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." We believe that he's coming back. And then jumping down to chapter 5, verse 9, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." You know, when life gets rough, we need to have this hope that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have anything to fear. In fact, our cups are overflowing because one day Jesus is coming back and making all things new. The third thing Paul says is that we should have a labor prompted by love. Now, moms, you know about labor. I could go into details about my kids being born and gross y'all out, but I'm not going to. But, like, women know pain. You deal with pain a lot better than us. Most guys I know, maybe I'm just talking about myself, but, like, we get a splinter and, oh, man, stop the world. I'm in a lot of pain. Let's deal with this. I have a very low pain threshold. I just don't want to be hurting. I don't understand. But labor, it's a difficult thing. And moms, you have the toughest job in the world. It is beyond what most of us guys understand. And there, recently on social media, there was a video going around of this interview for a job. And we're going to watch that real quick.
Just give me 1 second.
Sure.
Thank you, sorry.
Uh-huh.
Hey. Hi. 2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
that.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that.
Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive.
First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night.
Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is going to go up, and we demand that.
With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
Worry about when there's time to sleep, or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all-encompassing, almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing that for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No!
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
And they meet every requirement, don't they?
Oh, my God. Moms are the best.
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours. They're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
And so I think moms and women, you understand that. You understand that love is tough. There is a difference in the words that Paul uses here. Reading again, he says that we should have a work produced by faith, and we should have a labor prompted by love. So what's the difference between work and labor? Well, work is the end product. The Greek word used here is like the finish line. It's completed. It's done. So it's like crossing the marathon line or the finish line, and you're done. That was your work. And labor is a different word. Labor is the process. And the Greek word that Paul uses here is a word called kopos. And kopos means to lament or a sign of sorrow. To labor in the kopos sense means to toil, to suffer. It means weariness or intense effort. In other words, love is tough. Paul is praising the church at Thessalonica for doing the tough work, the everyday work, the weary work of loving each other. And that's what Christ followers should be about. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, "You've heard it said, love your enemies and hate, or love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." See, Jesus says that if you're really going to love someone, it's going to be rough. I can love people who like me or love me back, and that's easy. I had some friends here last service who came down from Martinsville. They've loved me a long time, so it's easy to love them back. What becomes difficult is when we have someone that we disagree with or that dislikes us. And we have the coworker who talks about us or writes nasty things on Facebook. It's tough when we have the friend who used to be a close friend who has gone behind our back and hurt us tremendously. That's labor, and that's love. Rob Bell, in his book Love Wins, says that history is about the kind of love a parent has for a child, the kind of love that pursues, that searches, creates, connects, and bonds. The kind of love that moves toward, embraces, allows works to be reconciled with, and regardless of the cost. See, love is about seeing the person who doesn't love us and moving toward them. It's giving the embrace that we sang about earlier. And it's tough. It's really tough. But if we are to be Christ followers, then that's really what we're called to be, because that's exactly what Jesus was. We had done everything we could against him, but yet he comes alongside of us and he gives up his life for us. He embraces us in our biggest level of junk, and he says, "I still love you. I still want to be with you." These three things remain: faith, hope, and love, and they are there during times of trouble. Elsewhere, Paul talks about faith, hope, and love in what's called the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And in verse 13, he says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." You know, if we are really going to be followers of Jesus, then we have to learn to love people in their junk. We have to be okay with differences. And we have to say, "You know, I might not agree with this, or you've really hurt me, but because of what Jesus did for me, I'm going to love you. And I'm going to accept you, and I'm going to work with you." Because that's what Jesus does, and that's what his followers should be doing. This morning, the band's going to come and sing a song of invitation, but before they do, I'd like to pray for us. God, thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. He moved toward us. He takes us where we are. And even though He wants us to change and He challenges to change, He loves us anyway. God, we want to put our faith and our hope in Him. His way is the best. So help us to be a people. Help us to be individuals who have faith and hope and love like Jesus. We pray it in His name. Amen.